Here's the managing general of the Toronto Blue Jays, Alex Anthopoulos, who's been busy. Tikanis.
Good. I'm a little beat, tired, but I'm all right. I'm still going on about 2 hours sleep.
All right. You're killing me because I'm up watching the game. I'm like dedicated, and I can't stay up, and it's a sixth inning, and nothing. I'll go to bed, and then you make the trade.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Way to go. Yeah, in the middle
you
of
know
the
what? Game. I was thinking of you, too, when I was doing this. I said, guys, sure. Hold on. I actually talked to Neil Huntington, the GM of the Pirates, and Jack Sorensen. I said, look, we got Damian back in Toronto. We got to really take care of this. We got to really have some concern here for these guys. Trust me, when it was 3 in the morning here, my daughter woke me up at 6:30. It was I was real excited, especially when we still had another 10 hours to go.
All right, if you're going to be that way, let's get right to the point then. What exactly did you bid for Yu Darvish?
You know what? That has to be a running theme each year.
Each time you appear.
Each time we come on.
Eventually, you're going to say, oh, forget it. I'll just tell him.
Oh, just and might
then,
as well.
I'm going to lose it. The fact that it's out there is great. It'll be there forever. You have a better chance of getting Paul to talk. You can end up getting him on.
You know, the problem is getting Paul not to talk.
He actually would say that about me.
Yeah, well, the two of you have no short sentences. I can assure you of that. I had a 7:05 flight booked for Seattle tonight, which I've now canceled because you found another left fielder because you traded all the other ones away.
Well, we obviously made two deals there, and we have some depth in the outfield, and you know, we have guys like Sierra that was in Las Vegas doing a good job for us. Raj Davis has been solid, and I know he certainly has been in and out of, you know, part-time role, bench. He's more valuable, I think, when we can use him all over the place. And a guy like Anthony Gose is obviously young. He's learning up here. I think, obviously, we know what the talent and the ceiling is there. But the left field, we really didn't have anybody that took the job and ran with it even from the start of the year. I don't know that it was an issue for this club, considering how well our offense has done for us. And from a defensive standpoint, I think with Raj and Snyder, and even if Ghost ever had time out there, we were always a pretty strong outfield.
All right, so are we to read into this, that this is an endorsement of what you've seen in a short period of time with Anthony Ghost, and when Jose is ready, which I understand is coming, he's taken some swings, etc. So he's getting there. Ghost is your left fielder, theoretically, and Batista is your right fielder?
I don't know that it's one specific thing. I think there's a few things to consider. One, from an offensive standpoint, we're up there and run scored in the league, and we have a very deep lineup, and it's really been the strength of our team. You know, with that, with the offense performing the way it has, it's done that with Raj Davis getting, you know, the bulk of the at-bats. Obviously, Eric Thames had some. Travis, when he was up here, had some. Anthony Ghost is obviously playing now with Jose Bautista, and we still had a very strong offense. So I think it was one of those things. We still had depth, and the offense was our strength, and we probably can afford. It was almost like staying status quo for what way we performed from an offensive standpoint, even defensively, with Raj and Ghost still here. I don't think we're going to lose anything there long term. But more importantly, you know, we had a need in the bullpen for a late-inning guy that could help us even going forward. Obviously, a guy like Brad Lincoln and even Steve Delabar are guys that have swing-and-miss stuff, power arms, and we have a chance to have them here for a long time. And rather than continue to have a revolving door in the bullpen, I think they're going to bring some stability for us.
When you, obviously, from a fan's point of view, people know Travis Snyder. They've been watching Travis Snyder, and that's the name that people want to talk about. We'll get to him, but let me ask you point blank. In retrospect, was giving Eric Thames the left field job out of spring training a misread, a mistake?
No, I don't think so, because it really came down to, you know, Raj Davis wasn't a candidate at the time based on the season he had for us last year. He had every day at bats and didn't perform, and we felt like his best role might be as that fourth outfielder and, you know, get some playing time at all three outfield spots. And really, when you look at the way Eric and Travis both played last season for us, Eric clearly played better than Travis, you know, for that short period of time. That's not to say that which one's going to have a longer career or make more All-Star teams or anything like that at all. And even in spring training, from a performance standpoint, if you look at the numbers, you know, Eric had a stronger spring training. But, you know, Travis showed promise, and he had to work on some things. And, you know, he finally started to find it, I think, a little bit with the extended time in Las Vegas. But he did miss time again with his wrist. He came back and didn't have any problems. But we were going to go with one of our young kids either way because we felt that the offense was deep enough in the other areas.
Did you have to bring Travis Snyder back up from Las Vegas in order to deal him?
No, we were not. That was not our intent to trade him at all. It really hasn't been ever our intent to trade him. You know, he's someone that he's a winning player, and he can do a lot of things to help you win games. Obviously, the bat is going to be the big key with him, and from a consistency standpoint, does he end up finding it over 500 at-bats? I would never bet against him, just knowing what kind of kid he is and work ethic and drive and determination. But he's made himself a better defensive player, base runner, and so on. But again, it was going to come down to what's the bat ultimately going to be. And I can't tell you that I know what it's going to be. But it wasn't so much caught up in that. It was more we had a need, and we had a need in the bullpen. And if Travis was the guy they had to have, and that was the discussion we had, you know, and if it made our team better, you know, that was what we had to do.
Are you at all surprised that it's turned out this way, that you've been making deals for largely bullpen guys? Some of them can be moved to starters. Some of them probably will be moved to the rotation. But after the work you did last winter on your bullpen, that you're in this position needing to make moves, move, you know, quality prospects like Snyder and Thames to buttress your bullpen. Is that a surprise to you, would you think?
I wouldn't say a surprise. I don't think I would have told you before the season that I expected to trade Travis Snyder. But I think it's always been on our radar a little bit that, you know, long-term, you know, the first 2 years, you know, in my first two off-seasons on this job, in terms of signing free agent relievers, you know, there was a lot of things that went into it. One, obviously, you're looking for guys that can help your team. But the second component was we knew we were rebuilding the franchise. And, you know, at some points we obviously made some moves to take a step back. And we looked for relievers that could help the club, but also that could create some type of asset value for us, whether it was, you know, the potential to get us a draft pick at the end of the year, the potential to have trade value for us. We were trying to build up as many assets as we could. Last offseason was the first offseason we really tried to diligently go out and add some guys that can help us out. But, again, when you're adding guys, whether it was a Cordero or Oliver, Santos was obviously acquired in the trade. But, really, Santos was the only one that was someone that had a chance to be here for a long period of time because of the length of the contract and the length of the control. So we knew either way we were going to have to address this. I think with some of the injuries, Santos obviously for one, Villanueva going into the rotation, and we ended up being two guys down there. And even a guy like Frazier, you know, that certainly changed things. But going forward, even a guy like Frazier was only under contract for 1 year. So it was going to happen one way or the other that we were going to need to address this at some point.
With Alex Anthopoulos, the Blue Jays managing general, take a minute and tell the audience the story of Steve Delabar, because it's pretty interesting.
It is. It's if you ever do a Google search on him, I think there's an HBO Real Sports. You look at his elbow, and that was obviously when our trainers and doctors examined everything. It's a pretty amazing story, just what he's gone through and his rehab and so on. But, you know, obviously from a health standpoint, there's obviously an element of risk there, but he's got a very good arm. He throws hard. He's got a very good split. Outstanding getting left-handers out. Right-handers has been a bit of a problem for him. But, again, the ability to miss bats in the bullpen in our division is so key. You know, there's so many times you have a man on third, one out. You know, you don't necessarily need someone to pitch to contact, and be able to bring someone in that can get a strikeout for you can really change the inning. So we've tried to add as many power arms as we can, as many guys that can come in and miss bats. And a guy like, you know, a guy like Delabar as well, is, you know, he's under control for a while, and he's got certainly quite a good ceiling with obviously a guy like Lincoln. These are guys that really made our pen a lot stronger.
Well, and you always talk about control. That's one of the key things you're looking for. I think the last time we had you on and we're talking about possible moves you might make before the deadline, you talked about, looking for that. And with a guy like Lincoln, who's had really good results this year since he went to the bullpen, how key is that versus his actual ability in terms of, you know, the fact that I think you've got him now till 2018 or something or something.
Yeah, we have him for 5 years beyond this year, but the first criteria is the ability. I mean, we got Brandon Lyon. You could say he's a rental, but, you know, we have him for two more months. But, again, he was someone that, you know, we wanted put in that deal because he could help the current team out. So we won't shy away from someone that has short-term control, but ideally you'd always like to have someone that you control beyond the current year. There's value there, whether it's for your own club or whether trade value down the road, et cetera. So But with respect to a guy like Brad Lincoln, that's part of the acquisition cost. If the guy he's controllable, he's got tremendous ability, those guys are hard to find. And I'm finding more and more as our team is transitioning to a contending team, the bullpen obviously is becoming more important, but the depth of the bullpen is so important. The reason being that if you're going to be a contending team, you're probably going to have a lead most nights, and you can't go to the same two or three relievers, and you're going to need to be five or six deep one way or the other. And if you're not, you're going to be going to the same two or three guys, and you're going to end up wearing them out. So as we're moving in that direction, we needed to make the bullpen as deep as we could make it, and obviously we still have areas to address in the starting rotation.
You talk about Lincoln as a reliever, and I know that's where he's had most of his success this year with Pittsburgh, but he had a few starts, a handful of starts, I think, with Pittsburgh this year. Is he a guy that you project as a bullpen guy but could be an emergency starter, or are you entirely focused on him being a back end of the bullpen guy?
We're focused on him being a back end of the bullpen guy, but we know there's always the potential that we could explore that option in terms of starting. I think obviously he had some very good starts during the current year, and obviously some bad starts as well, but it seems like the one role he's really excelled at this year is in that relief role. And it reminds me a little bit of Casey Jansen, though they're not necessarily similar in terms of stuff, but very similar that starters. And, obviously Casey had times where he did a good job starting but couldn't put it together. And, he really found his role in the bullpen. I think Brad is a similar type of guy, swing and miss stuff. The fact that he gets the left-handers out is very appealing. That really solidifies his ability to be a late-inning guy. So being able to start, I wouldn't ever rule it out, but that's definitely not why we acquired him. It's just maybe part of the added bonus if we ever wanted to explore it.
How close did you come to getting a bona fide guy you could put into the rotation before the deadline today?
Right.
And how significant or how realistic are the chances that you could make another significant move now that the waiver situation is over?
I was asked that actually earlier today on a conference call with the media in terms of how close. I don't know that we ever came really close and a deal fell apart. We had a lot of dialogue. There were a lot of things that either the other side could have said, could have agreed to, or we could have agreed to, but we couldn't line up on the value. But we were definitely very active in dialogue. We talked about a position player deal as well, actually a few of them. So really what I like about the trade deadline is it's every GM is engaged at this point in trade, and I love the fact that there's no interference with free agency, and that's what you'll see in the offseason. You'll be talking trade, but then obviously you have clubs talking to free agents and agents, and they're so engaged, and you're really the only game in town. Trading is the only way to do it, and it's really a great opportunity to add to your club. So, I look at this as an opportunity to fill short-term needs, long-term needs, but more than anything else, it's an opportunity to take advantage of the climate that every GM is engaged in, have a chance to make trades.
With Alex Anthopoulos. So give us a quickly an injury update. Let's go down the list. Jose Bautista,
mentioned
him.
This could take a while.
Well, I know, but we won't go through everybody. But
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Jose Bautista, where's he at? I heard he took some swings the other day.
He did. He's swinging the bat. He's feeling very good. We're going to continue to go day by day, but we'll obviously see how he does here over the road trip. But again, I don't know that there's a definitive date, but the fact that each day it's improving, he's getting very, very close.
Morrow got some work at Dunedin, I think, and then you're going to move him up to New Hampshire?
Yes, he made a rehab start. He did very well. Was up there in 95. Stuff was very good. So we'll make a few more rehab assignments for him. Hopefully there's no setbacks. Stuff is good, and he should be on pace to rejoin the rotation mid to late August.
Anybody else you can project coming back before season's end rather than go down the whole list?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, we have obviously guys like Frazier and so on, but until really guys start getting off a mound, it's premature. So I'd say obviously a guy like Morrow and Bautista are the two guys that are very close to getting back because they're already in their rehab programs. Obviously Batista's swinging the bat and feeling very, very good. So at this point, those are probably the two guys that have a chance to impact the lineup very soon.
Among the non-walking wounded, did you see much for optimism out of Ricky Romero last night?
I did. And you know what? It's I think the big thing is you look at two walks, strikeouts were very good. I know he gave up some runs there, but I don't know that necessarily things broke his way entirely with some of the things that went on. But the arm strength is there. The velocity is good. Stuff is good. It's hard to explain. I don't think anybody can really explain what's going on. If we could explain it, we'd obviously get it fixed. But it's something I think he's just going through right now. So I was encouraged. It was definitely a step in the right direction, and hopefully the next start he continues to improve.
Just me, or were there more fastballs last night?
I think so. But again, you also have to command it as well. And I think, you know, one thing is you'll see a lot of time with whoever's behind the plate. You know, what does he have that night? If he doesn't have his curveball and you continue to go to it and you're falling behind on the count, you know, maybe some guys will stay with it too long. Or, you know, if you can only control your changeup that night. So a lot of times you might have to adjust with what's going to work, and also maybe what the zone is. Is the umpire calling the high strike, the low strike, the outside, inside? So there's a lot of components, but I definitely thought he attacked more than he has in the past.
So help me out with this. Romero, based on my observations, has been in the 90 to 92 range most of the time with his fastball of late. Last night in Seattle, it was 94-95.
Zahn thought it was a hot gun.
Is it a hot gun? And how do you gauge that?
Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to be careful that the TV gun is not always accurate, and you know that's why. Unless you're in the stadium and you're seeing what the stadium gun is showing up, but you're right. Some stadiums the gun is a little high, so. You know, we know certain stadiums, and it really comes down to our scouts. When they're in those stadiums, sometimes it works well, sometimes it's way off. But Romero's been up to 94 here, and our gun is accurate. So, you know, the one you see at the stadium here is right on. So it isn't the first time he's gotten up to that velocity. If he got up to 5, that would surprise me a little bit, but we've certainly seen 3s and 4s during the year here.
Well, he hit 5 last night, and he was reading at 94. Consistently, I don't know, but more than a few times. So that's why I wondered, because it certainly would be a jump by at least a mile or two an hour.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is, again, we'd have to see what he would do the next start. If he continues doing that the next start, then there might be something to that. Or, again, like you said, it may have been a hot gun. But either way, I mean, he feels great. The arm strength's been good the entire year. It just comes down to command. Obviously, he'd be the first one to tell you the walks have really hurt him, and that's the number that's really skyrocketed for him.
Just to end up back where we started off, so it's a nice perfect circle. One of your young outfielders talking about Anthony Gose. The average is obviously not pretty at the moment. How soon do you get to the point where you've got to protect his confidence if the numbers don't come? I mean, you can talk about good at bats, you can talk about making contact, but when you look up there, and I don't know what it's at, but it was at 185, I think. I mean, at what point do you have to say, look, we got to protect this kid a bit?
I think it's a combination of things. One, I mean, you talked about some of them. Confidence is important. You know, the minute you get a sense that a player has lost confidence in himself and he's more defensive swings and he's just really trying to stay alive and survive up at the plate, that's when you know you need to obviously send the player down. But again, almost every player that comes up, especially, you know, even a guy like Mike Trout, who's obviously competing for the MVP last year in a short call-up, did not do all that well. Alex Rodriguez, I'm not saying Anthony Gose is going to be those guys, but the list goes on and on of guys that have come up the first time. What I'm impressed with Anthony is, one, from a confidence standpoint, if you ever get a chance to know Anthony Gose, I don't think that's something he's ever going to lack, and that's probably one of the best parts about him. He's so mentally strong and tough, and he went to winter ball, I remember this year, and did not do well, and I asked him, you know, so what happened? What do you think? He goes, I just sucked. And he wasn't down on himself, and he wasn't to put his head down. He's very matter-of-fact, because I'm going to get better. And he has such a great belief in himself, but I think overall the qualities of his at-bats have been outstanding. He doesn't chase. He works the count. Again, there's times, I think, from a mechanical standpoint, he's a little bit late getting his hands going, getting his foot down. Right. That's why you might see him swing through some balls. But I'm very encouraged. I know the numbers aren't there, but I think overall I'm very encouraged about the quality of his at-bats.
What should people expect to see out of young Sierra?
A high-energy player. Might have the best right field arm in the game. And I know we've got Jose Bautista
in the game.
And it's,
really?
In the game?
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
It is that good. And
wow.
I mean, I remember I saw him in New Hampshire last year. He threw a ball from the warning track in right center on a line to third base. I mean, he was like up against the wall. And he's always, it's one thing, you know, obviously all the outfielders that have good arms love to show it off. So when he does get a chance to get in there, you guys will definitely, you know, every chance he gets to throw, you're probably going to see that arm strength. But he's got tremendous arm. High-energy player, very good raw power. He's still developing with the bat, but he's someone who continues to get better. He's played all 3 outfield spots, but you know, more of a corner outfielder. Has filled in center, but definitely doesn't profile at that spot. But someone that, you know, if you're really going to dream on him, if it all clicks, he's got the potential and the tools to profile like Nelson Cruz with the Rangers.
Hmm. Anthopoulos, to hell with left field. Can he pitch?
You know what? You know what? You always talk about guys like that if they ever don't hit, and obviously he's come a long way there. You talk about putting guys like that on the mound, but it'd be interesting
to see
Jose Bautista throwing side by side.
Dave Steeb, man. Last question. How long before we see Hechavarria, and don't you have to get him here soon?
We really don't. I think.
Why?
I would say that he has never had a season where he's had success start to finish since he's been with us. Obviously, 2 years ago, joined Dunedin halfway through the season, didn't really perform there. Must have hit about 180 or 200. We moved him to New Hampshire for the last 2 months, hit about 280. Then he repeated New Hampshire last year. For 4 out of the 5 months of the minor league season, he hit about 230. We moved him to Las Vegas, and it almost seems like every time he fails at a level, we move him up and he does well and hit about 380 in Las Vegas. And now finally, from start to, obviously it's been 4 months now, he's hitting well over 300. He's had very good at-bats, but he needs to continue to get time. It's not to say he wouldn't be ready if we had a need. We wouldn't be afraid to call him up, but he's in a good place right now and really don't have a need for him.
Okay, but we expect to see him in September, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would say that there's a very strong chance that would occur.